Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. Sorry for the delay. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, and as always, at 8 o'clock this time, you're on the FSP Crew Show. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to the Fantasy Football Crew, and that consists of Jeff and me. And without further ado, let's bring my esteemed co-host in here. I know he's been sitting on the line waiting for me to come in here, and I appreciate the patience. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, what's going on, Jerry? Hey, like Meatloaf used to sing, two out of three ain't bad.
Yes. There's a few things that have been going on. Sorry for the delay, man. I've been extremely busy, and I got lost track of time. And let's get this show started. Okay. It's that time of year. Training camp has been going on for a little more than a week. And guys have been going down left and right. And one of the biggest guys to go down, unfortunately, I got to talk about this guy because he, even his owner talked about him. And the guy also had an article or something online, which to me was disturbing. Not disturbing. I can't say that. Surprising. Let me put it that way. I'm talking about the all-pro running back from the Houston Texans, my Houston Texans, Arian Foster, who went down again with a soft tissue injury, a groin injury. He ripped a groin muscle off the bone. And he's got requiring surgery, and he'll be out. Going to be on the injured list to return later, which means that the guy's going to be on the IR, temporary IR, I should say, whatever you want to call it, for the first eight weeks of the season. And then after that is a bye week, so it's really 9 weeks into the season before there's a possibility of week 10, him getting on the field. That's if all works out well and he's totally healed. The problem is Arian Foster is not a quick healer. Never has been. Even before the Texans were my team, one of the things I do study is in running backs, Jeff. And Arian Foster has been a habitual injury waiting to happen season after season. And when it does happen, it seems like it's always a nagging injury. He never gets totally healed. And like I said, he's a slow healer. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, he does have that reputation. And I was thinking he had a good backup a couple of years ago, Ben Tate, who's available. He kind of, you know, copped a lot of attitude last year, and I guess without a contract, it's, you know, but they got a different coaching staff now in Houston and whatever. And there have been, you know, I think they flew in Pierre Thomas for a workout, and there's some named guys available, Chris Johnson, Steven Jackson. But, you know, these running backs, it's kind of like cars. It's not necessarily the age, it's the mileage, you know. And some of these cats got a lot of mileage. But, yeah, I think you're referring to Arian Foster, he said that he didn't believe in God, which
yes,
that's his right. But I'll tell you, if I was playing football down in Texas, I would keep that to myself.
Yes, that's one of the things I was talking about. Like, you know, that's more information than you need to dispense out, especially in the state you live in. So. States you play in, I should say, the team that you play for. I wouldn't have put that information out there. I don't know why he did. I didn't read the whole article, but it's the type of information that you keep to, in my opinion, you keep to yourself, especially in the states you are, because of, well, the way it is. We'd have a full crew here, Jeff, because I'm going to welcome my man from the DC DMV area and see what he has to say. What's up, my man? Text that you text me when Arian Foster went down. I appreciate that. I really appreciate that, Mike, you know?
I thought you would be in the state of mourning today, so I said, let me try to shift the balls to
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you exactly what happened today. It was a hell of a coincidence. On the last stop of my day today, I had to go to a cigar shop. I'm not a smoker. I don't smoke anything, and I had to go to a place of business that you could sit down, watch TV, surf the net if you want, and partake in a cigar or two, depending on what it is. So it's, I don't want to say it's a smoke shop, but it's a cigar shop. And one of the gentlemen that greeted me as I walked in the door, thought I was a customer, later found out I was there to do some business, told me, Right off the cuff, without even me prompting him. As soon as he opened his mouth, I knew he wasn't from Jersey because he had a twang. And when I say he had a twang, he had a Texas twang. He told me his name, told me he was from Houston, Texas. And then my next question is, so are you a Texan fan or are you a Cowboy fan? Well, as soon as I said Cowboy, Black, his face turned and says, no, hell no, I'm not a Cowboy fan. I happen to be a Houston Texan fan. And I damn near hugged him because to find a Houston Texan fan in New Jersey is few and far between. And we struck up a nice conversation for quite a bit of time before I even was able to do any business because, like I said, you don't find him that often. And when I do talk to him, I had to talk to him, and he was down in the dumps also. And we were consoling each other because our main running back, went down, and we both were at a loss, like, who the hell do we turn to now? Alfred Blue, Jonathan Grimes, Kenny Hilliard, who they just drafted, in the later rounds of this past draft. And I understand they got Pierre Thomas. I really wasn't a Pierre Thomas fan at all. I don't think he would fit that system. And I don't think he's a game changer, which you need in that position because the Houston Texans rely so heavily on the running back position. They ran the most of any team in the league. And so they're going to put a lot of emphasis on the run. I'm going to put this out there because this is what my train of thought was, and it was a coincidence because he happened to be on the TV, I think yesterday or the day before, in an interview. I'm going to go to Jeff first, and then I'm going to go to Mike on your opinion of whether the Houston Texans, I don't think they've ever broached it or even thought about it or even came close to making that phone call to New Jersey. I think he's in New Jersey. Maybe he's upstate New York, wherever he's at. To former player from Rutgers, former player from the Baltimore Ravens, who's gotten to a hell of a lot of trouble and in a lot of hot water and basically is a pariah, in my opinion, in the league. and maybe blackball too. Jeff, what's your thoughts on Ray Rice going to Houston?
You know, very rarely will I speak up for a guy after doing something as bad as Ray Rice, but you know what? He admitted it. He seems remorseful. You know, the justice system dealt with it. It's not like he's in denial. It's not like he's acting like he didn't do anything wrong. And, you know, he was never in any trouble before. And I'm kind of familiar with him because, you know, he went to Rutgers and he's from the New York area, from New Rochelle.
Right.
And, you know, personally, I'd like to see him get a chance. But it besides the bad publicity, because I don't think I heard Dallas might take him, but they already got a guy for domestic abuse. You don't want two of those. They would take a beating over that.
Yeah, sure they would.
And then there was another team that they're doing Hard Knocks this year. Is that
Houston.
Cleveland? I can't. Yeah.
No, so, Houston's okay, doing Hard Knocks.
That, I heard that that's a problem because they don't want, you know, all the cameras and all the attention and whatever when they're filming. So that might be an issue.
Okay.
It hurts Rice because his last year was a big disappointment. He only averaged 3.1 yards a carry. He wasn't healthy. But,
right.
You know, he got himself into shape, whatever. And his former college coach, Greg Schiano, was trying to help him get with a team. These running backs, you know, they really now favor the younger guys now. And Ray Rice was very good for most of his
yes.
career.
Yes.
Good receiver, good between the tackles. Hey, you know, just because you can play doesn't mean a team is obligated to take a chance on you. And it's usually a talent-driven thing. And I guess some teams figure he's not worth the hassle.
Before I go to you, Mike, and I have to address this because you're right, Jeff. He had worst season of his career because he was dealing with a hip issue. And it was a perfect storm. Besides dealing with a hip issue, the offensive line of the that year of the Baltimore Ravens was not that good. And even his replacements didn't fare well in the running portion of the offense. But everybody reflects back on that 3.1. I think he had 3.1 or something like that rushing average. But fail to realize, and I still bring this up, and fail to realize that, just like you said, he was dealing with some health issues, which he got healthy after that year, and was dealing with an offensive line that wasn't the best. So, like I said, it was a perfect storm. I think since that year, he hasn't rushed since 2013 because of what happened last year. But he's 28. I think he's 28. I think he's been working out. It's mind-boggling that a guy that was at one point an All-Pro had one bad season due to extenuating circumstances, and he usually was a guy that was relatively healthy and ran well when he was healthy. The one time that he didn't was when he got hurt and couldn't perform the way he normally would perform because the injury that he had and because, like I said, of his offensive line. That's held against him on top of the fact that what he had done in a 2014 season. But to not get a invite, a look, you know, I got to believe, and you guys are big on politics in the NFL, and I got to believe that it's been you've seen players that is done to, that nobody wants to look at them again. They pretty much turn their back on them. For all intents and purposes, blackballed and just fade away into the sunset. And I think, unfortunately, this may be Ray Rice's legacy that he's going to fade away, but it's a shame. I think he's still got something left in the tank. and nobody giving him an opportunity because they didn't want to take the, I guess they didn't want to take the chance of taking that hit. But if one could do it, Bob Nair, who seems like a fair guy, meaning the owner, and the coach who's dealt with adversity and ridicule of a organization, when he, Bill O'Brien being a coach that he took over for Joe Paterno, he took over during that time when they were taboo, meaning Penn State would be the best duo to, and with Rick Smith would be the best trio to be able to handle a situation like, as in bringing in Ray Rice. But we don't know if that conversation ever took place, that thought process ever took place. All we got was Pierre Thomas, I think Joe McKnight, and I'm not exactly sure who else was involved in with some workouts, but Pierre Thomas was not the answer for me. And thank God he didn't want to take the league minimum. Otherwise, we would have Pierre Thomas on our roster right now. Talk to me, Mike.
He's done. I don't think he's going to be invited to come in any camps to go play anywhere. Ray Rice is done. However, you can give Steven Jackson a call if you need a running back. So you can give Chris Johnson a call if you need a running back. But as far as Ray Rice, is this too much around in that situation for any team to even deal with that?
Okay. So he's saying well, let me ask you something, Mike. Out of all the running backs you and I named, who do you think has the most ability right now?
The most ability? I would go Chris Johnson, if you have a decent lane.
Excuse me?
I would go Chris Johnson if you have a decent lane.
You have a decent line. Well, we do have a decent line. I mean, that's a given. What's your thoughts, Jeff?
I know his agent has been in talks with the Cowboys, but who knows where that'll go.
What's your thought there, Jeff?
You know, I think I agree. I mean, I think Johnson, he's not what he was, but I think he could still run, and that's his game is speed. And, he's one of these guys. He's a track guy. He loves to run. I mean, I run. I feel like I'm going to drop dead, you know. But he's a track guy, you know.
Yeah.
I think at this point he'd be more of a third down back. But, of course, like a lot of good players, he's got the chip on his shoulder to prove again that he's more than that. I heard Dallas was interested in him, but Dallas is one of those teams. Whenever any known player is available, everybody says Dallas is interested. I don't know if they really are. But, I mean, they got the king of injuries himself, Darren McFadden, you know, taking up space in their hot tub right now. So I don't know if they're looking for another running back. Well, they are, because one of them just got hurt. But, I don't know what their cap situation is either, because that's relevant, too.
All right, Mike, I'm going to put you on the hot spot here. Your boy, number 88 with the big-time contract, got into a scuffle day before yesterday with a DB.
What scuffle? What are you talking about?
He got into his – come on, Mike. He got into a little tete-a-tete.
I'm going to ask you again. What scuffle are you talking about?
Well, okay, if you're in denial, then that's a different story. But he got into a little tete-a-tete with a DB. I forget the guy's name. They were going at it, I guess, and they had probably enough of each other at the time and got up in each other's face. A couple blows were, or slaps, or whatever you want to call them, were exchanged. But supposedly after all was all said and done, they kissed and hugged and made up. I know probably know what your answer is going to be, but I got to ask you anyway.
What is my answer going to be? You tell me what my answer.
What is. I don't know. Wait a minute. I'm just saying, is that a issue to deal to be a problem with Des Bryant being a disruptive force, or is that just training camp incidents that you don't even need to worry about?
You know, it's the latter. Come on, man.
Well, like I said, I kind of figured what you were going to say. So I was right. So that's all I can say. Darren McFadden. Okay. He's another one of these running backs. And I would have to put him in the same vein, or Arian Foster in the same vein as Darren McFadden. Seeing these guys always get nicked up, always with soft tissue injuries, hamstring, groin.
Hey, you know my feelings about McFadden. I didn't care that we signed him. I didn't care that he was here. I'm glad that he's hurt. I have full faith, 100%, behind Joseph Randle being the starting running back this past season.
Well, let me ask you something here then. Okay. Supposedly Joseph Randle's getting the reps as the number one back because quite naturally Darren McFadden's dinged up, nicked up. Don't know exactly when he's going to get on the field and be able to do the same things that Randle's doing. Is that a huge gamble because of the history of Joseph Randle and some wacky, things that he's done in the past? How confident, and now you say you're confident, but now you know that there's been some wacky stuff of a pro football player doing some wacky stuff, trivial stuff taken out of the store that you would think that a person that of means would be able to pay for and not walk out the store without purchasing it. If he's got that mindset now, and he's done some other stuff too, what's your thoughts that this guy is going to be on the straight and narrow for the season as long as he stays healthy?
Hey, they sat down with him. They talked to him. They realized that he was a backup when those situations were occurring. He's going to be a starter this year. He's going to play to try to earn starter money. So I have to keep faith in Randle. 6.7 yards to carry. Our line has only got better. He's a home run hitter. I'm ready for the season to get started so he can prove people wrong.
What's your thoughts, Jeff?
You know, talk about these fights in training camp. Most of them are nothing. It's pushing and shoving. It's over with quick. The big thing is, you know, there's no bad blood, you know. I'll tell you, I want to talk about Dallas receivers. You remember when Michael Irvin stabbed the guy in the neck? Remember that?
Yeah.
Everett McIver, I think, was the name of the guy, one of the linemen. They got in a fight over who was going to get a haircut next. It's not funny. That's a real fight. And Irvin had to make a financial settlement with the guy. I mean, that's messed up. I mean, that's really messed up. And I probably was when Michael Irvin was having a drug problem or dealing with that. But I remember Jeremy Shockey got in a fight about a day after he signed his contract with Brandon Short, one of the linebackers. And Jim Fossil's thing was if a couple guys got in a fight in training camp, they had to walk around for the rest of the day holding hands or something like that. And it worked because the guys hated it so much.
The only real fight that I can remember was the Michael Westbrook and Steven Davis. That was a fight. Where there's and the guy did a couple of slaps, that's nothing. I mean, Westbrook pummeled Steven Davis. That was a training camp fight. You can't compare it to.
Okay. Well, I'm just asking. Then we also have the unfortunate, and that I this guy led the receivers last year. I was counting on him to have a better year, especially with Carson Palmer. But he winds up breaking three fingers, or fracturing three fingers on his hand, and he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks at least. I'm talking about Michael Floyd, a receiver from the
Arizona
Cardinals, with that Bruce Arian offense, he likes to put the ball down the field. What's your thoughts on him? I know John Brown is probably going to be actively drafted because of Michael Floyd being out. What's your thoughts on that there, Jeff?
Yeah, that's a, no pun intended, that's a tough break. I'll tell you, it's some are even more serious. Seems like there's a lot of finger injuries. You know, there was the two on the 4th of July. Jason Pierre-Paul, I mean, totally unrelated. It's a non-football thing. He still hasn't shown up. I think he has communicated with the team. I think he won't pass the physical, so he's waiting until he's going to pass the physical to show up. Because if he doesn't pass the physical, they put him on the non-football injury list, and they don't have to pay him. And that guy really screwed up in a big way. But fingers are important, obviously. But I guess he could still run, so his legs will be in shape.
What's your thought there, Black?
Yeah, that's unfortunate, but hopefully he'll get back on the field and get everything together. The Cardinals will definitely need him, but that was just unfortunate right there.
All right, I'm just reading another article, or an article, I should say, on ProFootballTalk.com, that one of my sleeper tight ends last year, and I do believe that he's still a sleeper because not many people still believe in this guy, but I still do, sustained 12 stitches in his hand in practice today down in Nashville. Talking about the tight end Delanie Walker, another—that's a name that it's going to be make a difference, especially for the Tennessee Titans, because of a young quarterback who would definitely be dumping it off when he gets in trouble to the tight end. It's supposed to be out. A couple days, but he got 12 stitches in his hand. So coach speak is always saying that, oh, they won't be out that long, be in a couple days or maybe a week, or we'll sit him down. And always turns out to be something more than what it is, because they don't want to give up more than they have to on how bad an injury is to a player. But 12 stitches is 12 stitches, especially in somebody's hand that and either happens to be a pass catching tight end. So whether you have fractured fingers or 12 stitches, if you've seen a cut that requires that many stitches, it's not something that you're going to be sitting down for a couple of days. I would think that and he still doesn't know whether any bones are broken in his hand from what I'm reading here. So I guess they're going to probably do an MRI to make sure that besides the cut that sustained and for the stitches, that nothing else is going to be going to hamper him from coming back when he's available. All right, I'm going to take a break right now and come back. We'll still be talking about some football, bring in some boxing, because there's some boxing news that we'll talk about. And also, since last week, we may talk about what took place in IFC 190. For those who don't know what that is, when we come back off the break, I'll let you know what it is, and we'll talk. Me and the fellas will talk about it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after when I can find it. After these messages, see ya.
Victor Gardner began the Fantasy Sports and Politics brand with the idea of combining two of his passions into a radio show. He then learned that politics were 95% of sports. When you tune into the Fantasy Sports and Politics show every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, Mr. FST himself, Vic Gardner, and Jerry the Master Taylor will go over the weekend sports, prep you for your upcoming fantasy games, and spark a debate politicians would love to hear. That's the FSP show every Saturday at 1 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/VICHVK. You can listen at spotonradio.web.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365 for other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
Thursday night is the right time to kick back and listen to the FSP Crew Show as they break down the weekend sports and prepare you for Thursday night football. 8 p.m. Eastern, just before the game starts. Jerry the Master Taylor hosts the show with Jeff the Joker Goldberg and Mike the Bookie Monster Wright. The three gentlemen debate and discuss a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of everything on the FSP Crew Show every Thursday night on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety. Looking for fantasy sports advice? How about informative conversation? Look no further, as the Master Plan features two men that can help in both areas. Jerry the Master Taylor and Lance the NFL Exporter Goodman provide you with a fantasy fix live every Sunday morning on the Master Plan at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. That's the Master Plan, Sundays 10 a.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK and streaming at spotonradio.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety, the Master Plan.
All right, we are back. I am JT, aka the Master. I'm joined by my two co-hosts, Jeff the Joker and Mike Wright. We make up the fantasy football, excuse me, we make up the Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew, which is the show that you're listening to. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be. If you want to talk to Mike, Jeff, or me, we're going to be talking some more football. And I want to talk about this guy because this is one of Mike's guys. One of Mike's guys. Titled this guy, highly coming out of college. And I'm going to read this little short blurb I had of about him. And then I'm going to go to Mike first and ask him about what he thinks about this. Johnny Football. Johnny Manziel will receive reps with the first team offense in Friday scrimmage. Coach Mike Pettine continues to insist Josh McGowan is firmly the starter, but firm starters don't cede camp reps to potential challengers. Manziel's camp got off to a rocky start, but ESPN Cleveland reported Tuesday they've made tangible progress. Pettine and the Browns desperately want McGowan to start, and this is what I've been saying all along about Josh McGowan. He's a backup quarterback, and I still believe it firmly, but he simply might not be good enough. All right, Mike, I just read that to you from rotoworld.com. It looks like Johnny Football, they're going to see what he looks like with the first team. What is your thoughts, and are you ready to tell me I told you so?
Look, man, the season hasn't started yet, okay? I'm not giving up on my guy. He's looking bad. Yes, he's looking bad. I'm sorry to say he is looking bad, but the season hasn't started yet. So let the season come in and let my guy get some reps out there and see what happens. I'm still a Johnny Football backer.
I know that. Jeff, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see Manziel play and do well because he's potentially an exciting player, but you know, it's old news. But he really blew it last year because you know, he could have learned a lot, but I guess because of his distractions, he wasn't able to. And that's what you don't want to see, you know, a wasted year. You know, after, you know, some guys after their rookie year, especially quarterback, they're ready, and Manziel might not be. So, but you know, the league needs quarterbacks. They need exciting players, and he potentially could be one. I don't know who he'd be like. Maybe he'd be a little bit like a Doug Flutie with a little more, you know, flair or whatever. And he's short, but I don't know, he's got big hands. That helps if you're short. Ask Russell Wilson. I don't know. I'd like to see him get a shot, and, you know, I like to see exciting players. I liked watching Michael Vick when he was, early in his career. So, you got to earn it. You know, it's not easy.
All right. We're going, like I said, we're going through different training camp because this is who's who.
You just love killing my guys.
No.
It's not enough that I had to sit and watch a terrible Mets and National Series where you guys swept us. And it absolutely crushed my heart to see Tyler Clippett in a Mets uniform. And then I come on the show. I'm highly on the show. I'll make it to the show. And then you just crush all of my guys, man.
Wait a minute, Mike. Now you have to think now. See, I didn't come at you like you came at me with Arian Foster. I know you're a national. I know you're a Nationals fan, and I know my Mets, who dominated with the pitching, wore out your Nationals. But I didn't even throw it up in your face. I just let it go. Just let it go, because let you deal with the misery of what took place with the Mets and the Nationals. But since you brought it up, we were talking about football, but since you brought it up, and I wasn't going to bring it up. I was going to just let it go. But since you brought it up, your Nationals, in my opinion, and I don't think I'm going out on a limb here, I feel are in trouble. Simple, and this is the reason why I think, and I'll get Jeff's input on this too. The Mets have, in my opinion, probably the best young pitching staff, maybe not in relief pitchers, but starting pitchers than all of baseball right now. They have three solid starters that are envy of a lot of teams in Matt Harvey, Noah Syndergaard, and especially Jason DeGrom. Now, Steve Matz is supposed to be coming back shortly. He only showed briefly in two games, and he showed pretty well. Jonathan Neath has been pretty decent, and Bartolo Colon is picking up the rear. We've got Tyler Clippert that can be either used as a closer or a setup man for Familia. And the thing about it was this, and somebody who was a Yankee fan had been all over my neck earlier, at least a month ago, about the Mets. And this is exactly what I told him. The Mets had the worst batting average of all of baseball, hitting it in less than 230, around 230. But their pitching was keeping them in games. And they were only two or three games out of first place to the Nationals. Which tell me, if they start hitting, or if they get some hitters, NL East would be in trouble with the Nationals. Well, they picked up some pretty decent hitters, including Yoenis Cespedes, and they're hitting along with getting quality pitching. I don't know what your thoughts are about the possibility of the Mets taking an NL East, but I think there's a strong possibility that will happen. Talk to me, Jeff.
I don't follow baseball much, but because I live in the New York area, I hear a lot about the Mets. And I watched a lot of baseball as a kid. The thing that's strange about the Mets is there have been in baseball teams with great pitching and like hitting to win, but those teams usually have good defense and good base running. And the Mets don't have that. And, it's hard to go out and get a bunch of sluggers. But if they were able to build a team, which, the former GM and the scouting staff did a good job of developing that pitching talent. But if they could have had an everyday lineup of guys who were good defenders and good base runners, they'd have a few more wins, you could win with pitching, defense, and speed. You really can. So, very, very strange team.
All right, Mike, talk to me.
And what do you want me to talk to you about now? Are we tired right now? Or are you guys up?
We're up by two right now, Mike.
Ah, Lord. We're gonna catch you guys, and we'll be taking the East Crown. So don't have any reservations, please.
Well, as far as I know, if I can recall, I think we have at least six games left to go up against each other, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's at least six games. It could be more. So it should be very interesting. I know you guys are getting some of your bats and your pitchers back that have been hurt. So it should be pretty interesting going down the stretch, dog days in August and into September. Who's going to win the NL East? Because I don't think either one of these teams that don't win the NL East will be in the wild card hunt. I think it'll be some other teams in the other divisions that will be able to get the wild card. So it's either win a division and into the playoffs, or sit and wait until next year. All right, let's transition back to football, because one of the guys that I had broached that I thought was a bona fide sleeper that is probably going to get his chance sooner rather than later. In fact, I had him in my listing of running backs, my ranking of running backs that I got on the www.spotonradios.com website in the fantasy foxhole. Click on that link and you'll be able to get the rankings of tight ends, wide receivers, running backs, and quarterbacks. And in the quarterbacks ranking, I have him number 24. And I think he may move up the ladder because of the, and I know it's a slight injury, but if you get an opportunity, that's all you need, especially if you're a rookie and you happen to be showing well, that Tevin Coleman should be having a very good opportunity because of Devontae Freeman, who's dealing with a hamstring injury, deemed as not serious, but he's going to be sidelined for a bit. Anytime a running back has a hamstring injury, it's a problem. If they don't get it completely healed, you can almost guarantee that's going to come back again and bite them at the most inopportune time. About this time in training camp, you have guys that are getting fatigued early part of training camp before they hit the first preseason game, start getting these soft tissue injuries, hamstrings, groins, and things like that. And Devonta Freeman has been bitten by that, and Tevin Coleman is dealing with a hamstring himself. But I think he's better off than Devonta Freeman. And that's going to be one of these training camp battles that is going to take place to see who's going to be the top dog in that offense. Got a defensive coach that is conservative, comes from the Seattle coaching tree. He's probably going to want to do the same thing, try to run the football a lot, but more and play a little defense. So he wants a bell cow or a guy that's going to be able to run the ball. Tevin Coleman, I think, is going to do that. And also, there's another one I wanted to talk about, because this guy is not on the radar, and it may be a guy that people may want to look at. Kamar Aiken is listed with the first team offense on the Ravens' first depth chart of training camp. He may be a guy that moves to the forefront because of the fact that they're dealing with a 30-something-year-old wide receiver as the main go-to guy, which is Steve Smith Sr. You got young guys on the other side, and Kamar Aiken or Crockett Gilmore or Max Williams or Breshad Perriman, who they picked up last draft in the first round, who's got a case of I don't know if I can catch the ball or I want to catch the ball. Hands a brick, and he happens to be a wide receiver. I don't know if you've heard anything.
Do they still have that 6'6" guy?
Excuse me?
Do they still have that 6'6" guy at wide receiver with the Ravens?
As far as they ever do, yeah. Why?
Oh, they do have him? Oh, okay. I wonder how he's doing in the chat.
I'm not sure about that, but I haven't heard anything about him, so apparently he hasn't been standing out. I know Kamara Aiken is probably somebody to look at. You get, like I said, you got Steve Smith and who else? That's what I'm talking about. You got Steve Smith and who else? Doesn't look like Rashard Perriman is going to be any kind of wide receiver in the first year, or if ever, because of the problem he has catching the football. So that's another thing to look at. In the DeSean Jackson just sprained his AC joint. He's going to be out for a couple of weeks. Kevin White, another wide receiver that got drafted by the Chicago Bears, is dealing with shin splints. He's yet to get on the freaking in the training camp and in the practice. You have to think that how effective is he going to be when he finally does get on there? If this is going to be something lingering, shin splints. I mean, wow. I don't know, man. This guy, I really like this guy. I think this is the next breakout guy. I said it on my show on Sunday or last week or whatever it was. Last week, not this past Sunday, but the Sunday I was doing the running backs. I've called out and said about Arian Foster, and that was right. I called out and said Jamaal Charles, and I was right. I called out and said Le'Veon Bell, and last year that was right. I'm calling this guy out this year. I know he sits on a team that a lot of people don't think too much of, but this guy is built to run. He showed some of what he could do last year. I think he's primed, and from what I'm hearing and from what I'm seeing, this guy is ready to go. He's not going to go. He's going to go into probably the fifth or sixth round, and maybe even lower than that, which all these other guys that I just named prior, they were picked in the fifth and sixth round, and I think this guy is one of those type of guys that is going to be picked in the fifth and sixth round. He comes out of the West Coast. He comes out of the AFC. I know a lot of people don't think too much of him. I think a lot of this guy, I like what I saw last year, I really liked. He's got the same last name as the guy who ran the most yardage, who had the most yardage in the NFL last year, moved on from Dallas to Philadelphia. But this guy resides on the West Coast, plays for the Silver and Black. Talking about Latavius Murray. I don't know what you guys think. I'm going to go to Black first because he must not think too, he must not think too much of it, which is fine by me, because when we get in the same league, I grab this guy, you're going to say, damn, I should have listened. But that's okay. Talk to me, Mike. What do you think of Latavius Murray?
He's okay. He's all right. He's on a bad team. I mean, I don't know what he can do there. I'm not sure what he can do there. I don't even know what the scuttlebutt is about him out of camp. You guys up in New York, are any rookies making any impact on the Jets or the Giants that you've heard about? Because I'm down here in the DMV, and all the ravings are going to one young Jamison Crowder, the Washington Redskins wide receiver. I said this guy looks absolutely fantastic in camp, so that's another guy to keep your eyes on. Slot receiver, they're thinking that Andre Roberts, and thinking his spot to be in trouble.
Okay. Jeff, your thoughts?
Latavius Murray, I think he's a guy for fantasy people are getting a little too excited about because he's yet to put together a whole season. Actually like his backup. Roy Helu, who the Raiders signed from the Redskins, who's a very good receiver and a pretty good goal line guy. But, you know, there's it happens every year in fantasy, and, you know, you got to be looking ahead, but you also want some kind of track record too. You usually, for me to get excited about a guy, he's got to put together a whole season, and Murray hasn't done that yet. And another guy who people are getting excited about is Carlos Hyde. And, you know,
not me.
He looked okay last year, but, you know, he's never done it full time. And that's looking, you know, the 49ers look like the Titanic after half the people left. I mean, that team looks like a disaster.
Well, let me clue you guys in. You guys don't know or not, but the 49ers plan to do a running back by committee. So Carlos Hyde, I mean, he may get the majority of the carries, but he's going to – he got Reggie Bush there also. So I can guarantee you that they're going to – maybe not an even split, but the carries aren't going to be Frank Gore-like. Let me put it that way. For Carlos Hyde. So, and as soon as Reggie Bush was signed, you knew that wasn't going to happen. As long as Reggie Bush is healthy, he's going to get some of the running back opportunities, maybe not in the running portion, but in the passing part of the game, which is going to take away from the value of Carlos Hyde. All right. Let's talk about this because I watched – the replay, 34 seconds worth of a replay. What I'm talking about is Rowdy, Ronda Rousey, in IFC 90. She happened to be the main event against the Correa. Both of them are undefeated. Both of them, well, especially Correa, who was a native of Brazil. This took place in Brazil. Had a majority of Brazilian fighters in the matches. And like I said, Rousey and Correa were the main event. Correa talked about Rousey's mother and I think attempted suicide of a mother or the father, one or the other, but it made it personal. Let me put it that way. They got into the weigh-in. And just like boxing, just like a lot of weigh-ins, they come face to face. And these two women were like nose hairs away from each other, face to face. And with the Correa yelling to Rousey, "Don't cry." And I'll say the reason why I'm saying this is because you'll find out when I get into this further. I was telling Rousey over and over again. Once you stand into Rousey's eyes, "Don't cry, don't cry," meaning she was trying to intimidate her quite naturally, and chanting, "Don't cry." So comes the match around midnight or so, stroke of midnight or whatever that on Saturday night. And these two women get up into the octagon, the bell tones. And within 34 seconds, Rousey knocked her out. And as she walked away, as the ref was picking Correa up, Ronda Rousey said to Correa, "Don't cry, don't cry, don't cry." I don't know if you guys saw the replay of this. It's only with 34 seconds. Just like a lot of Rousey's fights, they don't last that long. But this time she knocked her out versus the other opponents. She used a submission hold. What's your thoughts? Ronda Rousey, she's probably the biggest name, especially in mixed martial arts, and a big name in sports right now. What's your thoughts, Mike?
I have no thoughts on Ronda Rousey. I don't even know any of the women in the UFC. This sounds like she's tumbling a bunch of cab drivers. It's the same like I compare her to Triple G in boxing. Triple G is just for cab drivers. He has an 80% knockout rate. He hasn't really fought anybody. I don't know what woman is in the UFC and MMA. I have no clue about any of them. I think she's just a fan. I hear people talking about she's approaching Mike Tyson's status, but Tyson fought real guys. I don't know who round around this fight. That's the only name I hear out of MMA.
What's your thoughts on this, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, I don't follow MMA. I don't really care for it too much. You know, I don't like all that huffing and puffing before a fight because, you know, in boxing or MMA, because if I want to see that nonsense, I'll watch wrestling, you know. And just Ronda Rousey might be a good MMA fighter, but there might not be any good opponents. And you need, you know, because it's a relatively new sport, you need competition to, you know, to sell it, to entertain the fans. I mean, who wants to pay to see 30-second fights? It's ridiculous. I don't like that kind of stuff, like whatever she was saying to that other girl. Ridiculous.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to bring it up. I thought you guys may have been interested. I'm not a big IFC guy like that, but I watched it because I knew there was a little hype to it. And quite naturally, with the help of Mr. Mike Wright, I was able to watch it, and I appreciate that.
You're welcome, sir. You're always welcome.
With that being said, we are at the end of the show. I'm going to go to Mike and then Jeff. Maybe I didn't bring something up that you would have want to bring up now not.
Jeff touched on wrestling, so with that being said, man, rest in peace to the man, Roddy Piper, man. Terrible news coming out of wrestling this week. Man, that guy is the only guy who could possibly get me in the kill. So I got to say rest in peace to that guy, man. He was a great, great, great showman, Roddy Piper.
Okay. What about you, Jeff?
Yeah, Black beat me to it. Yeah, when I was a kid, Roddy was the man. And probably one of the best ever on the microphone.
Yep.
But he could do it in the ring, too. And he did some acting, too. And, he had a battle with cancer. And then Saturday, he passed away from a heart attack. So I'd like to think he's up there in heaven having a cold one with the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, you know. Hopefully.
I hear you. Yep.
And this Saturday, Hall of Fame induction, you got a very strong class. But every year, you know, it's, you know, only the greats go in. And there's been a little controversy about Junior Seau's daughter not being allowed to speak. But, you know, those are the rules, which they changed a couple of years ago. And now it came out a few hours ago that the picture on the banner is Seau in a Patriots uniform, not San Diego, where he played 13 years and had his best seasons. It's
really?
Like, I don't get that. And then,
really?
This is the thing. Yeah, really. And I mean, right, he played 4 seasons for the Patriots, but his best years were in San Diego. And
he's remembered as a Charger. You got to be kidding
me. Right. I'll tell you, most guys, very few guys could play 20 years in the NFL, and it's not the kind of league where they'll keep you around for a couple of years if you can't do anything. But
right.
That's how great a player he was. I don't know. It could have been an accident. But you know what? You should be more careful than that. And the Hall of Fame says they're separate from the NFL. But come on. They got to be in bed together. Because, you know, about not letting Seau's daughter speak. Because years ago they used to let, if the inductee was deceased, they let someone, you know, relative speak. But they changed that rule a few years ago. I don't know why. So, yeah.
Well, from what I understand, Jeff, I think she's going to be allowed to speak. I think they were kind of afraid that she was going to speak on the lawsuit I think they have with the NFL. But so originally she wasn't going to speak, but now I think they're allowing her to speak. But I'm really surprised that he's going to go in as a Patriot and not a Charger.
I mean, it's not that he's going in as a Patriot, but the picture on the banner is in a Patriot jersey. And I think, like, in baseball, you go in as a certain team. I don't think you go in as a certain team in football. I don't think you officially go in as a team. Because, you
that's,
know.
That, if that's the case, that's a travesty. Because he made his mark as a San Diego Charger, not a Patriot. Unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm pleased with that.
Wow. All right. And with that being said, the Hall of Fame game, the first preseason game, it's on Sunday.
Yes,
man,
sir.
I'm telling you, I'm going to be glued to the TV because football is right around the corner. And speaking of football.
I think I have the greatest because my birthday is always August 9th, and August 9th is always when the football game comes on. So
well, Mr. Wright, if I don't get a chance to say it on Sunday, I'm saying it now. Happy early birthday. Hope you enjoy
it.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. I appreciate the both of you.
And many more to come. With that being said, people, we are out of here. We're going to be back next week at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on this Thursday, which would be the 13th. Of August. Time's flying by. We're going to be in the middle of August before you know it. Summertime and it's going to be over, and it's less than what, 40 days before the first NFL game.
Really quick before you guys go, the 23rd or the 30th for the draft?
23rd is better for me.
23rd is better for you. What about you?
Well, let me put it this way. Depending on what it is, I got a draft on the 30th, which I'm running. I got two drafts on the 30th, and I got a draft on the 23rd at 1 o'clock. If you can make it later, fine. But the 23rd and the 30th are two bad days for me.
How long do you think your 1 o'clock will be?
At least 4 hours. It's a live draft. It's a live draft.
You mean in person?
Yeah, it's a live draft in person. Yeah, live draft.
I got a draft on the 29th, and that one's an auction. Those things go on all day.
Forever, yeah.
And now it's 14 teams now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'll be all day on that.
Yeah. If you want to make it.
I guess I'll email you guys then. I was thinking about 3 or 4 o'clock, but if you're going to be in a long drive like that, I'll have to rework something then.
You can make it 6 or 7. That'd be good. On the 23rd.
You got to send emails.
Yeah, I got to pitch it around and see.
Okay. All right, with that being said, I appreciate you guys joining me tonight. I appreciate whoever's listening still. Joining us tonight. And for those who are catching us on the archives, thank you for logging on and listening to the FFP Crew Show. We'll be back again, like I said, next Thursday, 8 p.m. We're out.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.